Christian greetings to all of you this morning. I'd like if you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. There's a few verses I'd like to read for our text this morning. Matthew chapter 5. This morning I'd like to look at this a title, Preparing for Perilous Times. I'd like to read a couple verses, Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. Starting at verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I like to make some observations from these verses shortly. Before that, I'd like to just give a little bit of a prelude. As I thought of this topic this morning, my mind went back to the previous brethren in the service. Our devotional leader took us to Isaiah 40, that beautiful passage. I love that passage. It's just filled with wonder and awesomeness at who God is. But in that chapter, there's some phrases that caught my attention, and that was that Let me just find that. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. And what I'm trying to bring out this morning is that we have the potential to face perilous times and not be prepared for it. But I'm very happy and glad this morning that Isaiah 40 doesn't stop there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank you for sharing that, brother. That is very beautiful. And then I thought of Noah as well. And as we think of preparing for perilous times, how many people made it in Noah's day? Very few. 8 people. The majority didn't make it. And so this morning, we want to make it. And as we think of preparing for perilous times, it is to prepare us. And we could also think of the election that's coming up. A crucial part of, well, I'll just say God's plan. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. We don't know what our future holds. But we know that God holds a future. We do know that. And we're thankful for that. But as we look at life, and as we look at the Word of God, and we're going to see this morning that we're not promised an easy life here. And as we think of our society and the way it's heading, things just keep getting worse and worse. Well, a lot of us don't like suffering. At least I don't, and I'm sure you don't as well. But it is, I think, right to say that we, at this time in our life, know very little about suffering at the hands of other individuals. Yes, God may bring circumstances, but especially this morning, I'm thinking of perilous times relating to Christians being persecuted, relating to us being hurt because other people are trying to kill us or pursue us or hunt us down or lock us up in jail. That's the subject that we'd like to look at. And today, as we think of facing persecution, we know very little about that. Very, very little. And of course, we're glad today that we can have this land where God has allowed us peace and quietness. But I'd just like to look a little bit at the practical or everyday life. You know, as we think of pain, you know, some of us face pain. The circumstances of life, you know, God can send things in our way. And yet I'd also like to say we live in an age where we don't tolerate pain very much. And We run to ibuprofen, we run to Tylenol, for tummy hurts, we get Pepto-Bismol, or, okay, you name it, pain medications and et cetera. We got it right at our fingertips. We got hospitals, we got doctors. We live in a land where we can deal with the things that we face. Now, I know that all gets all as well. You know, as we grow older with time and age, and even sometimes we have infirmities of the flesh, that even these medications don't simply cut it. But for the most part, as we look at this, we understand that we are a blessed people, very blessed people. But I'd like to remind you this morning that not everyone in the past has had it this easy. Not everyone. Matter of fact, this morning we're going to look at some people who have given their life for the sake of the gospel. We don't know what that's like, do we? Many people have suffered at the hands of sinful men. It was not just the normal aches and pains, but infliction brought upon Christians at the hands of evil men because they hated Christ, because they hated God's people. This morning I want to ask you a question. Would you or I be willing to endure suffering without recanting for the sake of Christ? Something for us to think about. Again, we do enjoy the peace and quietness. We live luxurious lives and we often act as though we have rights. But you know what? The Bible says that this is not the norm. This is not the norm. We fit in with the world with very little cost. Very little. And we wonder why. We could ask the question, why did God allow me to be born in America in 2000? Well, in this century. Why did God allow that? Why didn't he put me over somewhere where they're being persecuted for their faith? Why didn't he let me be born in another era of time that evil men brought persecution on us? Only God will be able to answer that question completely this morning. And someday, maybe we'll understand that better. I don't know. But think about it. I would like to renew our minds with what God teaches about suffering and prepare us for the future if persecution should come our way. And we know that that's a biblical perspective, and this morning I don't understand why we're not facing it. Now, I'm not sure what God's plan is, but we are going to see this morning that persecution is something that is promised. Going on now, I'd like to make a few observations from these few verses that we read. Observation number one from these verses, from our text, we see that there's a pronounced blessing on those who suffer for Christ. Notice that it is for righteousness' sake. Okay, this is not suffering because we've sinned. This is not suffering because of infirmities. This is suffering because we have chosen to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Christ. And because some people hate that. That's why I pronounce blessing on those who suffer for Christ. This is the words of Jesus. Does that have any weight on these words? Bless it. Bless it. How many times? Rejoice. Bless it. The word blessed means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, or happy. You know, we like to be well off, but we don't like suffering, or at least I don't. But Jesus says, blessed are ye. When you face these kind of times, I like to turn to Mark 8. I'm going to be reading various scripture this morning. The Bible has so much to say on this subject, and I'm going to be turning to various places. Mark 8, here we have the cost of discipleship. Mark chapter 8, I'd like to read verses 34 through 38. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. All right, turn over to Luke chapter 9. There's some verses over there I'd like to read as well. I might have stopped before I said, but I think I'll just read those few verses. Luke chapter 9. I like to begin at verse 23. The cost of discipleship. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. I think I'll just stop there. The cost of discipleship. This life of discipleship and self-denial is what we as Christian endeavor to do as we follow Christ. And as people attack this, as people attacked our Christianity, this is the blessing that Jesus wants upon us. Blessed are ye when you face these things, when you deal with this. And so this morning, I would like to say it is a blessing to suffer for Christ. And yet that's sometimes hard to deal with. Quite a while back, I got a call from someone. We decided, instead of going door to door with Just for You's, we decided to mail them. So we get zip codes, and everyone under that zip code in that area gets one of these Just for You's in the mail. And I've had more than one call about Just for You's, and it seemed like they thought that we were sticking them in the mailbox possibly. But I explained that no, that's not what's happening. The mailman is bringing this. But one lady got pretty aggressive. And she shared her insights with me until I got off of that phone. I was shaking till she was done telling me what she thought. And you know, I find it hard to find a blessing in that. What would be the blessing of trembling, coming off that phone just shaking? But the Bible says, Jesus' words, blessed are you when you suffer. A pronounced blessing on those who suffer for Christ. Now I want you to remember that. Secondly, again coming back to our text, I like to notice the intensity of suffering. Notice all forms of abuse, revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now that's a lot of abuse, words and actions, things that are hard to cope with. But you know what? This is also promised. Just as Jesus promises a blessing on us for suffering, he says you're going to face intense times. You're going to face hard times. I'd like to turn to Matthew 10. Read a few verses. If you can turn your Bibles just a few pages backward. Matthew 10, I'd like to begin at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. I like to move on now down to verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. I'll stop there. I want you to notice two different aspects. The first few verses that we read refer to our enemies. Our enemies are persecuting us. And that's one thing, to face persecution from our enemies. Yes, difficult, very hard. But it's another to even face it from your own household. Even your friends turning against you. That's difficult. The intensity of suffering. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Backward a few more pages. Matthew 24. And I'd like to begin at verse 9. The intensity of suffering. That's what we're looking at. Matthew 24 and verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I'd just like to stop there. We have a beautiful promise after that, but this morning, right now, and the second point is the intensity of suffering, so I want to just stop there and help us to understand, again, the intensity of this. I'd like to go back now to our New Testament era, and I'd like to start there and just give some of the, well, the persecution or the executions of many of the apostles. And I want you to listen to this, because this is what the church faced at the beginning of this era of time. And I got this out of the Martyr's Mirror. But it just helps us to understand the intensity of suffering. Number one, Jesus Christ being crucified. And you'll find that account in Matthew 27, where they took those nails and they put them in his hands and his feet. And he was our example. Now listen. Stephen being stoned at AD 34. Apostle James beheaded AD 54. Apostle Philip stoned AD 54. Apostle James, the brother of the Lord's brother, stoned and clubbed to death AD 63. Barnabas, companion of Paul, was dragged out of the city with a rope around his neck and burned, AD 64. Mark the Evangelist died while being dragged out to the site of his burning, AD 64. Apostle Simon Peter was crucified upside down, AD 69. Apostle Paul beheaded, AD 69. Silas was scourged and died as a martyr around AD 70. Apostle Andrew tied to a cross around year AD 70, and he lived for 3 days. Apostle Bartholomew was greatly tortured, then flayed before being beheaded about AD 70. Apostle Thomas was tormented with red-hot plates, cast into a furnace with his side pierced by swords, about AD 70. Apostle Matthew, also called Levi, the evangelist, was pinned to the ground and beheaded, AD 70. Apostle Simon of Alphaeus was painfully crucified around AD 70. Apostle Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death around AD 70. Apostle Matthias was tied on a cross upon a rock, stoned, and then beheaded AD 70. Luke the evangelist was hung from an olive tree around AD 93. John the evangelist was abandoned on Isle of Patmos AD 97. And we could mention other tactics used through time, such as the use of the rack and the wheel, the mouth screwed shut, limbs cut off, being thrown into boiling water, dipped in wax and burned as candles, burned alive, roasted, gored in the stomach, suspended in the air with weights, hanging on, drowned, and the list could go on. One woman came to the execution with a 15-month child she had with her in the prison cell. Upon being ready for execution, she offers her child to anyone in the public who would care for him. We don't know anything like that, do we? The opposition may be difficult. Thirdly, moving on and coming back to our text, Matthew 5. I'd like to notice, thirdly, the attitude of the sufferer. Rejoice. Rejoice! How can we rejoice with such brutal persecution? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I'd like to do some reading out of 1 Peter. If you could turn your Bibles there, it's various places in 1 Peter really gives a beautiful writing on taking suffering joyfully. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to begin at verse 18. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience' sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Ye were healed, for ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." And here we have Jesus suffering for us. Now let's turn over to the next chapter, chapter 3. I'd like to read verses beginning at verse 13. "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Now let's go to the next chapter, chapter 4. I'd like to begin at verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." This morning I'd like to ask the question, what is it that kept the martyrs from recanting? Many came to the execution with words of comfort, or I should say words of encouragement, words of challenge, singing, praying. And it is noteworthy to notice and consider that the joy that was in their hearts as they came to their death. What a blessing, the attitude of the suffering. Fourthly, back to my text, Matthew 5, I like to notice the reward of the suffering. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Matthew 10:22 says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. James 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This morning, amidst the suffering that we may face, we have a God who will walk with us. And we have a future to look forward to. And we can bore more than conquerors, as it says in Romans 8, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, the reward of the suffering. Heaven will someday be worth it all. Fifthly, coming back to my text, the fifth observation I have from this text is history, an example of encouragement. And it simply says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, we looked at some people in the past already who were persecuted, and I like to just go to James chapter 5. I'd like to read a few verses in that chapter concerning faithfulness in the past. This goes back the whole way to Job. James chapter 5, I'd like to look at verse 10 and verse 11. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. And we could go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we could go down through that list. And we could look at all the people who by faith loved God. And then when it comes to the end of the chapter, it says, you know what? There was so much more that was happening that couldn't be all talked about, and it's not written in the Bible. It talks about the afflictions of the people. And then we come to verse 12, and it says, chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I believe I'll stop there. But we see that we have endless amount of people that suffered for Christ or who were faithful and by faith took God's promises literal and kept following Christ. And that is such an encouragement. And as we look at their lives, it is to be an encouragement to us, history, an example of encouragement. I'd like to move on to the second part of my message now. There's a few points, practical points, that I would like to give in relation to the question, how can we prepare for suffering? Number one, know the biblical predictions. I'd like to turn to John chapter 15. There's a few verses I'd like to read from that passage. John chapter 15, I'd like to begin at verse 18. And if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. This is Jesus' words. And Jesus knew that the world hated him. And he's saying, you know what? If the world hated me, then the world will also hate you. Verse 19, and if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And so we see here that even Jesus faced persecution. And Jesus is saying, you will face persecution. Also 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there's two factors that I'd like to bring out. First of all is a warning signal that the Word of God is bringing out. And it's not to bring fear in our life, but it is simply to prepare us. It is simply showing us this is what we're going to face. This is what Jesus faced. And if you follow me, this is what you're going to face. And we shouldn't be surprised as the world deteriorates and the world goes downhill, so to speak, that persecution may arise. I'd also like to notice that it is all-inclusive. All Christians will suffer. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So this morning, we're together in this, aren't we? And that's a blessing. That's a blessing we have as a church. And the future, you know, as we look at the future, it is sobering to know what will happen. But let's remember, as I mentioned earlier, that God does hold the future in his hands. And I don't believe God wants us to fear. I don't believe that's his intention at all. But rather, God is informing us so that we can be prepared to fight the Christian battle and help us understand that the cost of discipleship may be our life. Know the biblical predictions. How can we face suffering knowing the biblical predictions? Secondly, how can we prepare for suffering? Die to the flesh. 1 Peter 4:1 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now I know for my own life that the flesh is very hard to kill. My flesh just likes to come up. We like to be selfish. We like to be proud. We like to do what we want. We like to do what we feel like it. We don't like to be told what to do. We like to have our rights, so to speak. That's our flesh. But we see that Jesus laid that aside. As he came into the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't Jesus' will that he would face those. Well, I shouldn't say it wasn't his will. It was his desire to die for us. But he was not looking forward to the pain that he was going to face. In other words, pain is something we shy away from. And as Jesus came to that Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if this is your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. And we see Jesus laying aside his flesh, and today we're called to the same, to lay aside our flesh. To lay aside the flesh. And you know what? As we practice that in our everyday life, it will help us when we face the big decisions of life. But if we don't lay aside our flesh today, then tomorrow may be very difficult to do that as well. When we face that harder temptation of suffering and maybe even giving our life, and very closely related to this, how can we prepare for suffering? Thirdly, live faithfully to the today. Luke 16 and verse 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. And so today, as we think of this, we must understand that today is our day. And today we are not faced with much persecution at all. We have little choices, everyday lives that affect our personal life, maybe our flesh. Maybe it's a temptation to do something we shouldn't. Maybe it's a temptation to lie. Maybe it's a temptation to cheat. Whatever it is, those temptations come and are posed to us. And although they may seem big or small, we must learn to faithfully resist the urges to sin. We must learn to live faithful today, because faithfulness in these areas of life, in the small things of life, will help us and prepare us for the big things in life. And so we can prepare for suffering by living right today. We know that persecution may come. It's in the future. Maybe it will be here. But we can prepare because we have done what we know today. How can we prepare for suffering, live faithfully today? Fourthly, how can we prepare for suffering? Focus on the eternal. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians. There's just a few verses I'd like to read from that passage. 2 Corinthians 4. First of all, beginning in that verse 8 where it talks about all the things that Paul was facing. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now let's go down to verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't know how you feel about your afflictions today, but I know in my life they seem rather big sometimes. Significant. It's interesting to me that in verse 17 it says, our light affliction. And this morning as we look at eternity, in the light of eternity, no matter what we face here, whether it's death, it is a light affliction compared to the glories of eternity. And so as we face life, and as we face difficulties, and we face the thought of persecution in the future, we must keep our focus eternal. And as we face suffering, it will help us through the afflictions that may seem big at the moment. How can we prepare for suffering? Focus on the eternal. And fifthly, how can we prepare for suffering? Trust the future in God's hands. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 12. Trust the future in God's hands. Luke chapter 12. And I like to read verse 11 and 12. When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. This morning we can rest in this confidence. You know, sometimes when we look at something big that's going to happen in the future, we can get a lot of fear. But God said, you know what? Jesus' words here, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I'll give you the grace that you need when you're there for it. When you're going through that time, when you're going through a difficult time, when you need the words to share, when you're under that pressure, under that persecution, when you're brought into synagogues and magistrates, I will be there to give you the words. What a blessing this morning. Certainly we have a God that we can trust. We can trust our future into God's hands. How can we prepare for suffering? Trust the future in God's hands. Those are just a few points that I'd like to share this morning. I would like to close with Hebrews 13, verse 3. This is a little bit of a side note, but I thought it would be good if we just touch on this verse a little bit. Because today, there may be some people who are suffering. You know, we have it so good. You know, I was able to come up here about an hour and a half, and I wasn't afraid that someone was going to pull me over and point a gun at me and tell me to give up my faith or haul me into jail. I just didn't think about it. But you know what? Somewhere in the world, there may be some who are suffering for Christ. And I'd like for you to remember this. Hebrews 13 and verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. Them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And I'd just like to encourage you today, as we've been reminded from the Word of God, that suffering will come, afflictions will come. This verse is showing the strength of brotherhood. And I like to encourage each one, you know, as you go home, that you would pray for anyone who may be suffering today. There may be some who are coming to their execution, or have their execution planned. And they need the strength of God. They need the grace. Will you give them your prayer support? I'd like to put that as a bug in your ear. Pray for those who may be suffering in this coming week. God bless you, and you may continue to be faithful to the Lord God. And we know that God will be with us for the future. And I just want you to trust in Him, be strong in Him, but at the same time, prepare yourself because it may come. God bless you. You may kneel for prayer.